10. This is God's word. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. This is God's word. Moses had a disability. Moses had a disability. For that reason, should Moses decline to serve as a prophet for God, even though called by God? Moses was a great philosopher, a great leader, a model for all the other prophets to come. In fact, even Jeremiah that we're studying as a church, Moses is the model for all the other prophets to come. In fact, the one Messiah who was to come would come and be like Moses, says Deuteronomy 18. And yet Moses, apparently, during his lifetime, in front of an audience, was not a good speaker. He had a clear head. He had a great mind. He made solid decisions. But it seems that Moses did not have a smooth tongue. Moses must not have had a ready verbalization or an articulate way of communicating. We don't know exactly the problem. But Moses had some disability of speech, or at least he perceived himself as having some disability of speech. And the book of Exodus is about Moses leading the people to leave slavery. In fact, the word Exodus means to leave. It's the big exit, right? No more slavery. God's people leaving a bad situation in a foreign country, coming home to their own promised land. It was Moses who received the Ten Commandments. It was Moses who led the nation to build the place where God would dwell with his people, the tabernacle. There, the people made sacrifices for sin. It was under the leadership of Moses that God fulfilled his promise to Abraham by multiplying Abraham's descendants into a great nation and then bringing them up out of slavery in Egypt into their promised land. But Moses himself, despite all of this, all of his other qualifications, Moses viewed himself as not so sure he was the right man for the job because of a speech disability. And God's answer to Moses is where we're focusing today with a profound lesson to start off our series that people with disabilities belong in God's church. We can resonate with Moses on a lot of levels, that the lack of confidence we feel whenever we strike up a weakness or God calls us to do something that we'd like to say it's outside of our comfort zone. We resonate with the difficulty of Moses here. We feel our weaknesses, don't we? And those of you who have a special sort of disability, the kind of thing that's a classic disability that we're talking about, you feel that every day, don't you? And the caregivers, you understand that often, don't you? But we start off here recognizing our need for God's comfort to us, specifically on our area of weakness or our area of disability. So the main point of the message you'll see in the bulletin, after God comforts us with his sovereignty, we know that we all fit in the church, even with our disabilities and our weaknesses. And the truth is that we all have weaknesses. We all have what could be called disabilities, right? Sometimes it's simply the aging factor itself, which causes there to be less hair up here and more gray here and all the other things that I need not mention, you understand. Number one, our disabilities can cause the painful and wrong conclusion that we cannot serve God, verse 10. Number two, God comforts us by revealing that he sovereignly created our disabilities. Sovereignly created our disabilities. Wait for that. And then number three, God comforts us by his presence and his power. So first, our disabilities can cause a wrong conclusion, a painful and wrong conclusion. Namely, I can't serve God. He can't serve God. She can't serve God. We can't serve God. That is false and wrong. Watch how it happened for Moses. Even Moses, the great leader, he's one of the classic great leaders in the Bible. Even Moses doubted his place of serving God. He thought of himself as unqualified to speak. Maybe it was because his position as a leader was not just a church ecclesiastical leader, but also as a governmental leader, so he would have to speak on behalf of Israel, the nation, to Egypt, the nation, and therefore speak to the great leaders of Egypt. Maybe he thought in that particular function, if he wasn't so fluid, it wouldn't work out well. Maybe he thought because the great people of Egypt were so educated, so fluid, so cultured, that the great governmental leaders would maybe question whether they should consider his advocating of letting God's people go. He thought maybe the cause itself would be harmed. Would the Egyptians just mock Moses for his speech disability? When God appeared to Moses in the famous burning bush incident and first called Moses to lead, Moses began to present objections. I'm going to cycle through the first three really fast, and then we're going to get to the fourth one, which is what I read to you and what we're studying today. So Moses is trying hard to show God that Moses is not the right choice for doing God's work. Chapter 3, Exodus 3, 11 and 12, Moses asked, "Who am I that I could bring people out of a bad situation in a foreign country?" That's my words. I'm summarizing chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And God responded, "I'm with you," basically. Then chapter 3, 13 to 15, we have the second time that Moses objected. Moses asked God, "What is your name?" And God answered, "I am who I am." In other words, "I am so pure, high, and powerful that you can count on me." And he did reveal his actual name to Moses. That's the second objection. Then the third objection happens in our chapter, chapter 4 of Exodus, verses 1 through 5, where Moses argued, "Look, they're not going to believe me that I'm speaking for God." So God gave Moses the sign of a rod that turns into a snake. So that rod becomes the proof of authenticity. So then we get to the fourth objection. Today our study is the fourth objection from Moses. This objection Moses himself considered to be a convincing argument that God could not get around to present to God that Moses is not fit for this position. Moses thought that his objection would prove that Moses was not qualified to serve the Lord in this way. So here it is in our passage. I'll read again verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Exodus 4:10. Basically, Moses delivers the clinching argument. He considers to be the clinching argument. "I don't speak well. You're asking me to speak officially." Did Moses have a disabling speech impediment? Perhaps. Something, we've already talked about that. But whatever Moses had, whatever Moses was missing, whatever ability he had and disability he had, whatever Moses perceived in himself to have as abilities or missing abilities, the answer of God to Moses is so clear, so unambiguous, that no matter the actual situation and no matter the perceived situation of Moses, God had an explicit answer to Moses. And for that, we go to our second point, that God comforts us by revealing that he sovereignly created our disabilities. And here's verse 11. "Then the Lord said to Moses, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Exodus 4:11. God is basically saying, "Moses, I created your mouth as it is. I created it with the abilities that it has and the disabilities that exist. And I am with you, and I am with your mouth. I'm with your mouth." Consider what God is saying here and what it means for Moses as we fast forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means is the prophet like Moses who is to come, and then what it means for us who are in Christ. This is a startling statement. And some people think that God doesn't like disabilities, such as blindness, deafness, muteness, or the inability to talk well. But God forms mouths, such as the mouth of Moses. And there was apparently something imperfect about the mouth of Moses. And God took credit for that. When God asked Moses, "Who made man's mouth?" he didn't even stop there, but he already is taking credit for having made all of our mouths. exactly how they are with the abilities and accents and all of it. But God didn't stop there. He added beyond Moses' question. In verse 11, notice that God goes beyond the question and provides what's needed for Moses, provides what's needed for us, because he added situations well beyond the scope of his discussion with Moses at that moment when God said this, "Who makes man mute or deaf or seeing or blind?" You answer that question. I'll just wait while you think it through. Who makes man mute or deaf? Who makes a woman seeing or blind? God makes people deaf or able to hear. God makes people blind or gives them the ability to see. God makes us with our abilities, and he makes us with our disabilities. Even if it comes later through an accident, through a crime, or through a disease, God orchestrates all of our lives. Does he not? Through his creator work and then through his redemption, or through his providential overseeing our lives, his sovereign work. Here's the key to the whole passage. Since the Lord God is the one who made Moses, with whatever ability and disability Moses had with his speaking, God was able still to call Moses to do whatever speaking work God was calling Moses to do. Yes, with the disability. And too often in the church, we believe that it is the able person, not the disabled person, only the able person who is called by God to serve God. I think we kind of sometimes allow ourselves to have some of the world's mindset slip in where we think someone with a disability can just kind of bump along, but they don't have a place of service. And that's not right. That's not correct. To put it bluntly, too often we believe incorrectly that the person with disabilities is not called by God to serve God. Too often we sideline people with disabilities, and God says no. God says this is Moses with the disability. That Moses is being called by God to speak for God. God had other options. God could have created other options. Rewind the clock, he could have overseen it so that there are other options of people who are more fluid to be in that position of speaking for God when the safety and the bringing of his people up out of slavery was at stake. Now, some people think that the only way God could call a blind person to serve is if God miraculously healed the blind person. The only way that God would call a deaf person is if God miraculously cured the deaf person, that they would then become a person with the ability to hear. No, some people think that the only way God would call a person with a lack of fluidity in his speech is if God miraculously provided fluidity of speech to that speaker, and the answer is no. God not only can create talkers and create those with the inability to talk, and he could cure the inability, but then there's a third category that God is opening up for us here. The third category is God creating people with the inability to talk fluidly and to leave them in that speech disability, and within that speech disability to still call that person to serve God. That's a third category for us. Kind of blows our minds. It's a whole different way of thinking. Not only can God create sight and create blindness, or he could cure blindness, but then there's another third category he's opening up for us here. The third category is creating blindness, leaving a person in their blindness, and then calling that person to serve God while remaining in the blindness. We had a blind deacon here, many of you remember. God not only can create people with the ability to hear, or create people without the ability to hear, and then give them the ability to hear, as Jesus did in his lifetime ministry on earth, but there's a third category that God is opening up for us and for Moses here. The third category is God creating people with the inability to hear, leaving that person in the inability to hear well, and then calling that person to serve God while remaining in the disability of being able to hear well. Do you realize this is an entire denomination of the deaf in the United States? They need pastors, they need elders, they need deacons. And it's people who can't hear. All of them can't hear. It's God's ministry for them. God not only creates people with abilities, he creates people with disabilities. he could then heal them, have the disability go away. There's a third category that God is opening up for us here. The third category is God creating people with disabilities, leaving those people in their disabilities, and then calling them to serve God from a position of weakness. God seems here to be chastising Moses for having a faulty view of himself and a faulty view of all people with disabilities. What did God do about Moses, the chief leader, having a faulty view of himself and a faulty view of disability? God chastised him by comforting him. It brings us to our third point. God comforts us by his presence and his power. God did not dismiss Moses and fire him any more than God dismissed and fired Jonah from bringing the message because Jonah didn't want to carry the message at all. God called Jonah to speak and to speak to the Ninevites. And despite his objections, God made Jonah speak to the Ninevites. And then God saved the Ninevites through his speaking. And here, God called Moses, and so Moses is going to speak for God. But God corrected Moses. And then God also created the team around Moses, the caregivers, if you will, or the support team around Moses, another person, and God promised to bless both people on the team. To complete the story, we observe in verses 13 to 17 that Moses protested one last time. Send someone else. And here I'd like to read verses 13 to 17. But Moses said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. Listen, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him, and take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs." God had unlimited power to give to Moses whatever was needed, which revealed the true problem with Moses. Moses didn't want to serve God. That's the problem. God had a solution for that also. God has power to forgive the sin of Moses and to change the heart of Moses and to train Moses to serve God from the place of weakness and disability, even when before he didn't want to. It all started when God became righteously angry and sent the assistant of Moses instead with an amazing statement of steadfast blessing. "I'm with your mouth and with his mouth." Why wouldn't he just say, "You're fired, I'm with his mouth," right? We think that's how it would work because that's how the world does it. But God sets up his kingdom, he sets up his church this way. "I'm still with you, and I'm with your assistant." It continues when God sent the prophet Moses, even the Son of God himself, the prophet like Moses, to take upon himself the sin of Moses here. God did not forsake Moses here. God promised to forsake Jesus in order not to forsake Moses. God did not forsake Moses in this story. God could continue to be with the sassy mouth of Moses and the unwilling heart of Moses because God put to death his own son for the sassy mouth of Moses and the unwilling heart of Moses. God did not give up on Moses and send him away. He comforted Moses by God's presence and God's power in his sovereignty. He continued to work out his plan for the life of Moses. He didn't say, "Well, if you're going to be like that, then you hold the door for Aaron. How's that?" No, he kept him in the position of speaking, and he speaks, and Aaron speaks, and they each take turns or they partner up. God continued to work his plan. Eventually, we read this in the New Testament, how it all worked out. Hebrews 2:17, where we read that Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins, means to cover the sins of the people. For because he himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And then Hebrews 3:1 says, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Listen, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. What? Yes, the same sassy Moses mouth, the same unwilling Moses heart was sanctified by God so that we could hear said in the New Testament, Moses was faithful in all God's house. The sins were covered. The sins we're reading about here were covered. It was Jesus who helped Moses to stay in his calling despite his unwilling heart and his disabled speech. It was Jesus who covered Moses' sin of being unwilling to do what God called Moses to do. It was Jesus who was made like us in every respect, yet without sin. It was Jesus who became a merciful and faithful high priest for Moses and for us. It was Jesus who came and became the prophet like Moses, only greater than Moses, and saved Moses from his own sin. It was Jesus who made propitiation for the sins of Moses and for the sins of us as God's people. It was Jesus who was able to help us when we're tempted to have a bad attitude or tempted to quit because I just can't do it right anymore, or I can't do what I think I'm being called to do. He helps us when we're tempted to quit or get a bad attitude. It's Jesus who fulfilled his heavenly calling because he is spiritually perfect. It's Jesus who helps us to fulfill our heavenly calling because we're made perfect by faith in him despite our disabilities and our many weaknesses. Just as Jesus helped Moses to be faithful in all God's house, it's Jesus who truly is faithful throughout God's house. Too often we want this Hallmark story. We don't want the Bible story. The Bible's way of telling how God redeems and the condition we were in, the condition we're in later, and who gets the credit. We want the Hallmark story. We're all moved instantly by the Hallmark story. We want God to bring an end to all suffering, that there are no more disabled people. But God won't do that yet. You think there's disabilities in heaven? God delays bringing an end to our suffering. We have to accept that. God delays bringing an end to disabilities. God postpones giving us new bodies until we all get to heaven. For here and now, in the service of God in the church, God uses people with disabilities and a church filled with people with disabilities to bring the gospel to the nations. It's his church. It's the whole plan of his church on earth. He built the kingdom with speakers like Moses as primary leaders in the Old Testament, the giant figure of Moses with a disability. It's his plan always in the Old Testament. It's his plan always in the New Testament. It's not until Jesus comes again that he will remove from us all of our weaknesses, all of our disabilities. Think about it. If God removed all disability and disease today, he'd have to remove all sin because it starts out with sin, and sin is the destruction of all of us, and how it came into the world. It's why we have weeds, why we have flies, why we have sin and weakness, broken down, all because of sin. So the general cause of all disease and disability is sin, but God is greater than sin. He's greater than disease, greater than disability. He's filled with mercy, which is why he's delayed judgment so that more can repent and more can come into the kingdom, more come to know our Lord Jesus. God's building his kingdom and gathering new sinners into it. Consider Jeremiah writing in the book of Lamentations, Lamentations 3:32, though God cause grief, God will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for God does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. God is loving, God is compassionate, and he's sovereign. It means that God gets to raise the dead. God could take a crooked stick and draw a straight line, or he could take the crooked stick and make it straight and then draw a straight line. It's God's choice, not ours. God gets to build his kingdom using people with disabilities. So what have we seen? After God comforts us with sovereignty, we know that we all fit in the church, even with our disabilities and weaknesses. Our disabilities can cause a painful and wrong conclusion that we cannot serve God. Secondly, God comforts us by revealing that he sovereignly created our disabilities. It comforts us, so comforting. And that God comforts us by his presence and by his power. So his sermon series is called Disabilities Fit in the Church. It means people with disabilities, like you and like me, fit in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one can tell a person with disabilities to leave. I think our church does quite well with this. There's a lot of awesome caregivers in our church. I'm not saying this sermon series to condemn anyone or to get us worked up into shape. We're doing quite well in this, but just to remind us of what the calling is. We're comforted by God's sovereignty, aren't we? God has set up his church this way, and your body the way it is, and the person you're caring for, their body the way it is, how it's supposed to be. It's his plan for your life now. We don't have to keep on grieving that some people suffer with disabilities. It still is hard to watch, it's hard to see, but we can accept it because it's from God. He has conquered all, and the disabilities will one day soon be completely undone. And it will be shown that all things in this life were done by God and they were done well. Even with great abilities, those people who have great abilities are utterly relying on God the whole time. So what's the difference? God chooses to allow disabilities in the church for many reasons. And one of those reasons is to mold Christ-like character into all of us. God uses one form of evil, like sickness and disability, to help remove another form of evil, our personal sin of selfishness. It's called caregiving, but that's a whole other sermon. Three quick application points. Number one, this is directed at those who are caregivers. In a sense, that's all of us, but you know what I mean. Those who have a big-time job of caring for someone specifically. You're on assignment. I want to say this to you. Please know that the work you are doing to care for someone with a disability is a noble work for God. It's like king and queen type work. It's dignified. This is incredible work. That God cares for us in our caring for others, whether it's a disability of speech, eyesight, hearing, a body part, a disease, a medical diagnosis, or simply getting older. What you do unto the least of these, you do unto me, says Christ. Secondly, an application to those who have disabilities. In a sense, that's all of us. And in a sense, you know what I mean, those whose lives are all altered by this condition. Be comforted by God's sovereignty. God made you as you are, or allowed the events to proceed the way they did so that you are exactly as you are now for his purposes. It's a place for you. This is the place for you. God is delaying healing you until we all get to heaven and we all get new bodies. And God sees you now. He has you in his kingdom. He has you in his church, in his sovereign right to do so, in his master plan. He could heal you like that. We have to come to grips with that. We have to accept that. God is able to heal you, and out of his great love for you, he has decided to delay that healing until we see him face to face. We have to trust in his sovereignty. You are not left out. You are not left behind of the great accomplishments of the church. You fit here. You're an integral part of it. We need you. That's another part of the series later, another sermon. You belong in the church of Jesus Christ, and may God have mercy on anyone who says otherwise. We love you in this church, and we're glad that you're here. It's a church of Jesus Christ, which means you fit and belong in this church. My third application is to all of us. We are doing well, as I said, as a church, and just reminding us here, we don't judge people with their disabilities. The New Testament does not speak of the disability of Moses, but rather says, as I read earlier from Hebrews, and this from Acts 7, verse 22, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was, listen to this, Moses was mighty in his words and deeds. Acts 7, 22, Moses was mighty in his words and deeds. That's the final answer on how we are to view Moses. We don't view Moses through his speech disability, you see. We view Moses through God's calling, God's power, God's presence, and God's assistance to Moses, which means Moses, at the end of the day, was mighty in his words. If you were there, you might actually say, he is not eloquent. But when you saw how God used his words, you would have to agree with Acts 7:22 that says Moses was mighty in his words. You would say he was strong in his content. You would say he was on point. You would say that's exactly what needed to be said. And you would say that God used it to save his people up out of Egypt. Moses himself would later write about his own speaking, Deuteronomy 32:1-3. Give ear, O heavens. Wow, he must have regained his confidence. He's talking to all of the heavens now. Give ear, O heavens. Have you ever just woken up in the morning and said, O heavens, I have an announcement for you. Listen up, heavens. Right? Listen to this. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass and like showers upon the herb, for I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. Deuteronomy 32:1-3. Apparently, Moses got the message when God sanctified him, and the message was, I have such courage from God. When I speak the words of God for God, called by God on his behalf, I don't shy away from speaking to the whole earth. In fact, all of the heavens can listen in while I bring God's message to little Egypt. We must not judge ourselves wrongly in our disabilities and our weaknesses when we are part of the kingdom building of God. We must not judge ourselves wrongly in our disabilities and our weaknesses and judge others wrongly in their disabilities and their weaknesses. Moses didn't have the kind of elegance and the kind of ease that you might assume that he had, the great speaker for God. Moses, the Bible says, was mighty in his words. You remember what they said about the Apostle Paul's preaching? I'll end with this. Is a whole other sermon too. 2 Corinthians 10:10. For they say, his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. They said that about Paul. So it's not just Moses, not just the Old Testament, but it's New Testament speakers. There's nothing about the delivery of Paul's messages that was powerful. The power was in the content of the gospel in Paul's sermons, delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the application is, to those who are caregivers, please know you work for God in noble calling. Those with disabilities, please be comforted by God's sovereignty. You're right where God wants you. And those, all of us, must remember that this God calls us not to judge, but to care for all, especially those with disabilities. Let's pray.